listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders. Hey there, Patriots. I hope you are having a great day. I'm so glad to be here with you guys. We're going to talk about this great bombshell of the FBI D-class. We've got so many good things to talk about. And it looks like hopefully we have our hacker situation solved. So that was an interesting little thing. I called support and I had shared the keys to the kingdom. And so I think that was what had caused the problem. So hopefully that won't happen tonight. I'm just hoping and praying I have it fixed. So we're going to find out. So welcome. If you're new here, make sure that you hit the like button right now. We're going to have such a great time. We're going to talk about how the current events tie in with God's word, because this is biblical, right, you guys? And so we're seeing the end times for these creeps. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing the end of them. This is my website here, melissaredpill.com. Check it out. You're going to love all the great information that you find over there. Definitely check in to the end times page right there. We're going to talk about rapture also tonight, because that was brought up on this video that Tucker Carlson did with George Stephanopoulos' sister. Have you seen that? I'm going to show you some clips of that, because it was very important what she was talking about. And she brought up about the rapture of all things. I thought that was really interesting. She's she went over there as a sister, a nun, and now she's a mother, Mother Stephanopoulos. So it's very, very interesting that she shared that little factoid, that what she believes about the rapture. Anyway, so if you want to find out more about end times, like I said, go here. And also you can see here the audiobooks here. You can, all of our social media is right here. And again, go to melissaredpill.com if you're listening and you don't have video. But there's 1,000 videos over on my website where we've been getting together and decoding all that's going on since 2018. We've been in this for a minute. All right, so let's talk about what's going on. So last night, I was kind of thinking, okay, that's the end of the day. We're not going to have any more big news to come out. And I was wrong. As usual, whenever I think it's going to be a slow news day, I get hit by a whammy. So it just seems like every day, there's not a day that goes by that we don't have some big news coming out. So pretty exciting. So this is about Shifty Schiff. I'm sure you guys have seen it, and so I want to make sure that you have seen the actual memo itself. And so here I did a video as soon as it came out. I did this. It's actually on the I've pinned it to the top of my X account, so I'm going to be changing that here real quick, but I wanted to give this to you so you guys can make sure you have a copy of that link. So right there is the memo, the D-class from the FBI. We've been waiting on the FBI to declass this stuff. This guy, this whistleblower, had come out in 2017, and so finally now we're getting to see it. So I'm going to, on this little clip right here, I actually read it. So I will, I'll move out of the way a little bit, and I will play this for you. This is a whistleblower release about Adam Schiff. I bet he is having a fit right now. Look at this. When working in this capacity, blank was called to an all-staff meeting by Schiff. In this meeting, Schiff was stated the group would leak classified information that was derogatory to President of the United States, Donald Trump. Schiff stated that the information would be used to indict President Trump. He stated this would be illegal, and upon hearing his concerns, unnamed members of the meeting reassured Blank that they would not be caught leaking classified information. blank was, again, approached with leaking classified information in a separate meeting by unnamed individuals, believed this activity to be unethical and treasonous, and was concerned about the discussions, and as a result, reached out to contacts from his prior blank employment for guidance on where to report this experience. These discussions led blank to contact the FBI regarding his concerns. Blank had several conversations with two unnamed FBI agents related to the matter and was eventually invited to attend a mock grand jury hearing with the United States Department of Justice, DOJ, and was advised to not bring his attorney to the meeting. However, Blank invited the two FBI agents he worked with to attend the meeting. Blank was eventually informed that the issue would not be investigated further by the DOJ, as congressmen have immunity to all speech and actions made on that floor of the House of Representatives. Blank did not believe that the activity he witnessed would be protected by this legal provision. Boom.
Boom. Okay. I hope my volume is good enough. I hope it's better that you guys can hear what I'm saying. I don't know if it's on the recording or if it's my voice, but either way, hopefully you can hear it. Now, give me the thumbs up if you can hear it. Okay. So, shifty Schiff, as we've always heard President Trump, he's the famous pencil neck, right? He was a congressman, and now he is a senator, and he has ties in his family to these bloodlines, the ones at the top. So it's interesting because a lot of the ones who are in the puppets who are in Congress are not really, you know, as far as I can tell, are not necessarily related, but he has their very name. Okay, Schiff is a big name in the bloodlines. I guess you all probably already know that. All right, so on this memo that was released, and of course this, what I kept saying, blank, it was the whistleblower who came out, like I said, with this in 2017. Now, this particular document, this investigation was done in 2023, but he has had this out way back since 2017, and that's, I'm going to show you the post that we got from 17 about this being, Shifty Schiff being a leaker. So anyway, so he gets called into this meeting. He hears them talking about that they're going to do this leak, this classified information. Imagine you're in this meeting and you're hearing that they are saying that they're going to leak this classified information. And then at the end they say, oh, no worries. Don't worry about it because no one is going to be held to an account for it. It's no big deal. This guy said nothing doing. So he talks to his former employer. He says, I can't, let me tell you what they're trying to have me be a participant in. I can't participate in this and potentially risk my future and be under arrest if ever this comes out. Anyway, so really, you have to hand it to this great whistleblower. But what he didn't realize was that the FBI was dirty. You know, everybody wants to think that the law enforcement is actually on the good guy's side. Unfortunately, that was not the case. And so, they covered this up all this time. And of course, thankfully, now we have Kash Patel in as the FBI director. And so now he has released this. This is just the beginning. It's going to be every day something else that will hit the fan. And whether it's about Schiff or, whoever it's about. So it was called into this other meeting. They said, oh, no need to bring an attorney. Famous last words, just like they did with General Flynn. They always say, oh, there's no need. We're just having a discussion. If anybody ever tells you that, that's the very moment you need to bring an attorney. Anyway, so then he brought them in. Let me see if I can get to the last part. And so he said, oh, they said there was no concern. And he said that he did not believe this would be under the provision that a U.S. representative would not be held to an account because it was not something he did in his official capacity, okay? Which is outrageous to begin with because it sounds like, that they could really, drive a Mack truck through this of illegal activities just saying, oh, I'm a U.S. representative. I was in my official capacity. So this is really big for this to come out. And then I want you to see, this is what we were shown back in December of 2017, December 10th, 2017, post 325, Adam Schiff is a traitor to our country, a leaker. Again, so you make up something, you put it out there, and you leak it to the press, you leak it out and say it's classified information, but that it's somehow leaked. Well, this is what we were told back in December of 2017 that he's a leaker. He's a traitor to our country, making up these things to try. It's a coup against a sitting president. That's really what it is. And it's not a hoax. It's not really a, you know, it was a leak, but it was most importantly, it was that they're trying to take down a sitting president, which is treason. All right, so the other thing is President Trump has said he wants Shifty Schiff to be held accountable, and so do I. So I'm going to play this for you, what Caroline Leavitt said today, and I want you to also, I'm going to send you the link, so you guys go while she's talking, click on that link that I'm going to post in the chat, and I want you to go and type treason. Because the more, I've been telling everybody to post treason so many times because I want them to know we are completely on board with having these people held to an account and for these people to be held up for charges of treason. Okay, so you guys, you know, the more we type treason, the more they realize we're not playing. We're not playing. These people literally tried to take down our country. Okay, so I'm going to get this link and I'm going to share that with you.
A whistleblower alleges that then Congressman Adam Schiff approved leaking classified information to smear President Trump's image during the Russiagate scandal. Does the president plan to investigate Adam Schiff, and what would accountability look like if more information confirms this report?
The president has already said he wants to see Adam Schiff held accountable for the countless lies he told the American people in relation to the Russiagate scandal. I brought Tulsi Gabbard out to this podium to talk to you about all of that, and this administration is taking accountability very seriously. As for this new FBI whistleblower report, I understand Kash Patel last night declassified a 302 FBI document showing that a whistleblower who is a Democrat, a career intelligence officer who worked for Democrats on the House Intel Committee for more than a decade, repeatedly warned the FBI in 2017 that then Rep. Adam Schiff had approved leaking classified information to smear then President Donald Trump over the Russiagate scandal. This is obviously a bombshell whistleblower report. Hopefully more people in this room will cover it as such. And I have a quote from the FBI director for all of you. He has said this: for years, certain officials used their positions to selectively leak classified information to shape political narratives. It was all done with one purpose: to weaponize intelligence and law enforcement for political gain. Those abuses eroded public trust in our institutions. The FBI will now lead the charge with our partners at DOJ, and Congress will have the chance to uncover how political power may have been weaponized and to restore accountability. That's what the administration is focused on, and hopefully we'll see some more media reports on this whistleblower allegation. If this were reversed, if this were allegations against the president or any of these cabinet officials, I'm sure everyone in this room would cover it as such.
Yes, thank you, Caroline. That's very good point. So, yeah, so Kash Patel saying that they were weaponizing this intel against a sitting president. This is what we're talking, it's what we call treason. So, and then President Trump wants him held to an account, and so do we. So I just posted that link. So, yeah, everybody go over there and type in treason. And we're gonna just keep doing that for weeks until somebody's brought up on charges of treason. Now, Paul Sperry found this post today, this information today. He's found some more 302s. And so he said that there was an accomplice. I'll read it to you. Ellen Nakashima. Let me show you her picture right there. Ellen Nakashima. Let me see if I can make it a little bit bigger. Well, I really can't. Anyway, Ellen Nakashima, she works for the Washington Post. She's a stenographer. Ellen Nakashima planted three major Russiagate stories. So as we've talked about, just like on January 6th, the media was all too happy to join in with them on the narrative that this was terrible Trump insurrectionists, right? Same thing now with them getting out this Russiagate information. They were all too happy to be his accomplice to get out, to leak out this information. And all they need really to happen is for one media organization like the Washington Post to put it out there, and then everybody runs with it, right? Oh, the Washington Post said this, or the Washington Post said that. All right, so they did three. CrowdStrike, with the DNC hack, right? Saying, oh, this was a DNC hack, which we know it was Seth Rich who got that information, and you know, we believe that's how it got to WikiLeaks. And so they were saying, oh, it was a hack. It was a hacker. No, it was real information. And then number two, the ICA
Putin-Trump consensus, right? So they got that story pushed out there, this Russiagate, Russia, Russia, Russia. And number three is that Carter Page was a Russian agent, and that's how they got the FISA warrant so they could spy on President Trump's campaign, was through that leak and that lie, and how they just made this up, this fake intelligence, and pushed it right out there to the American people. This is what we can't abide in our country anymore. So she's a useful idiot, and she won a Pulitzer Prize. So now we know that's all you have to do to win a Pulitzer is to lie and to commit treason. So I know these people have to be beside themselves and scared to pieces because they realize that this is the end of it for them. They're going to be held up on charges of treason. Big deal. It's a big deal. You know, if they had been successful, then the same thing that has happened in Brazil and the same thing that has happened in Venezuela and the same thing that had happened in Iran and many other countries would have happened here. This was treason, what they did with JFK. I mean, this is what they've done over and over and over again. This is not the first time. They've done this over and over and over to push out these narratives and weaponize the intel community, intel agency data. All right, so there you go. I think those were the main things I wanted to talk about today on Shifty Shift. We're going to find out more as the days go by, and I will be posting that all on my social media. Now, this was a very interesting little tidbit that J.D. Vance said. He dropped this bomb during a Gateway Pundit interview. These are active investigations. He said, you won't be aware of it until we announce the conclusion of the investigation. Let's listen to what he has to say and tell me in the comments what you think.
Did the law? If you broke the law on this crazy Russia investigation, you got to get prosecuted for it. Consequences. I think that's the only real language that the far left understands in this country.
I agree totally. We did see some progress today, I think, or yesterday, for they have sent out some subpoenas to Hillary Clinton and some others. Yeah, so.
Yeah, we're sending out some subpoenas, and there are actually some active investigations, I think, that probably you won't be fully aware of until we announce the conclusion of those investigations. But the president has been very clear. The attorney general, the FBI director have been very clear. They are looking at law breaking. And for people who broke the law, it's not going to be a slap on the wrist. We're sorry. Mm-hmm. Have a nice life. It's going to be, you've got to face consequences for it. And I really think it's our sacred obligation to the American people to ensure that those who broke the law pay the price for it.
Mm-hmm. It looks like
Yes. Love it. This is what we've been talking about for years, since 2018 and since the whole email scandal broke and they're like, oh, no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case, that there's a different set of rules for them than there are for us. Well, we're not putting up with it. And so again, here's another one. You can write treason on any of this. Every one of my posts over on X, just put treason. Say we want to hold everybody accountable for treason. And so he's saying you won't even know about the investigation. We're not going to leak the information about the investigations until we announce the conclusion. There you go. And so, yeah, that's very, very, very exciting. I love that he is saying that, because what we've been talking about for a long time is that there have been grand juries going on and that there have been these investigations, and people are like, oh, no, you're full of it. That's just conspiracy theory. He admitted it right there. I'm going to post this. I'll give you this link also in the chat so you guys can know about that. Isn't that exciting? Love it. All right. Yes, that's what we want, what we want. Okay, so now the National Guard has descended upon Washington, D.C., and let the screaming begin. They're all up in arms. No, we don't want them to come here. And literally, when they were having a protest about President Trump doing this, literally a block away, someone was killed. They're saying, when do you say enough is enough? And so, actually, they're saying that the numbers have come down. Well, the numbers might have come down because of, after COVID, because after COVID, people did have to go back to work, but the number, they still got number one. They're still number one in the entire country. So what does that tell you? They are, this whole thing has got to stop. And so President Trump is taking back Washington, D.C., and he has talked about taking other cities back too. this whole idea of us having these sanctuary cities where crime runs rampant, that day is over. Okay, so let's listen to what President Trump had to say. He said this is Liberation Day. So I think this just came out, Monday after I haven't done a video since then. It seems like almost old news now. It's like, okay, everybody knows about this, but I want you to hear what he had to say.
Wow. I've been up here a lot. I've never seen a crowd like this. I think we need a ballroom, and that's happening. It's going to be a beautiful.
Okay, before I go on, if you notice, he's saying that there's a wow. It means there's a lot of people in the press briefing room, and so that tells you that they know this is a big deal, and it's not just because of the political implications or all the legal implications, whatever. They know that if President Trump is calling in the military, he's calling in the National Guard to be in the streets. Even if the people here in the briefing room don't know, their handlers know that this is the next step before the arrests. Okay, and so it appears that once President Trump does Washington, D.C., it's going to happen in other cities too. I just wanted you to see that's why they're all there, because they realize this is huge. This is it. This is the end for the criminal cabal running this country. And as I if you haven't seen my video that I did on Sunday, we talked about how this was 11.3, which is from the Law of War manual, that he has to prove that he has complete control over the seat of power. And I go into the Law of War manual on the most recent Rumble video we did. Anyway, let's see what he has to say.
Ballroom. This is really a lot of people, most I've ever seen in this room. And we're here for a very serious purpose, very serious purpose. Something's out of control, but we're going to put it in control very quickly, like we did on the southern border. I'm announcing a historic action to rescue our nation's capital from crime, bloodshed, bedlam, and squalor, and worse. This is Liberation Day in D.C., and we're going to take our capital back. We're taking it back under the authorities vested in me as the President of the United States. I'm officially invoking Section 740 of the District of Columbia Home Rule Act. You know what that is? And placing the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department under direct federal control, and you'll be meeting the people that will be directly involved with that. Very good people, but they're tough. And they know what's happening. They've done it before. In addition, I'm deploying the National Guard to help reestablish law, order, and public safety in Washington, D.C., and they're going to be allowed to do their job properly. And you people are victims of it, too. You know, you're reporters, and I understand a lot of you tend to be on the liberal side, but you don't want to get...
Okay. So the main thing I want you to see is that President Trump is, now that he's taking federal control, which is the whole reason that this was done at the beginning. If you remember, our seat of power was in Philadelphia, and we did not have a District of Columbia back in the beginning. And so the whole reason that they created this Washington, D.C., was because they needed to have control over the law enforcement, because it became a political weapon that the law enforcement would not protect. They're the ones that they didn't like. Okay, so that's why they created the Washington, D.C. So this was all controlled within this nucleus of the seat of power. All right, so that's why this was done way back in the day. Let's see if I can get this to go away. Okay, so I wanted you to see that the National Guard is there to establish order, and also that for example, Judge Jeanine is there, so she will be the one who is managing the cases. The head of that. So this is not going to be business as usual. This is not going to be where you arrest someone and then they get out on some kind of technicality, or, oh, we can't hold them accountable for this, that, or the other reason. This is where it's going to be federalized. So it's very big deal, very good news. All right, so the next thing I wanted you to see is about, this is mother Stephanopoulos. This is George Stephanopoulos's sister. And so she was on Tucker Carlson, and they did a video called Here's What It's Really Like to Live as a Christian in the Holy Land. So she lives in the West Bank. Now you think of a West Bank, is that a bank, you know, like on a water, on the bank of a river? Well, it's the on the bank of the Jordan River. The Jordan River is the line between Israel or Palestine and Jordan. Okay, so they live over on that side, not on the Mediterranean side, but on the Jordan side, right on the bank of the Jordan River. This is that West Bank, and as you know, this land has been taken for years and years and years, to the point where they are just in little segments. Gaza on the Mediterranean side, and the West Bank over on the Jordan side. So I wanted to play a few clips from her on, you know, I would really encourage you to watch the whole thing, and I'll put the link over in the comments section. But she is talking about what it's like to live there. That's the first clip I'm going to play for you, and how they come in and they shoot things up, and the IDF comes in and it destroys things. And she talks earlier in the video, she talked about how you have, which most people don't necessarily see this when they go over. I was over there and I didn't notice this, but she said certain people have license plates. I think it's the yellow plate or a green plate. And if you have the correct plate, then you can drive on whatever road you want. You can go wherever you want. But if you have the wrong color plate, then all you can stay in is just this one little area. And so if you need to go to the doctor, or if you need to visit a family member who's having a baby or whatever, you're really in a prison. You can't go. So she talks about that. And then here she's talking about how the people are in such, are being abused so much by this rogue group that comes in and destroys the property. It's really horrifying what is happening. This is the moment in the world where people are realizing this, we can't allow this to continue. This is the kind of thing that can't continue. And I'll say one other quick thing before I play the video. She says that what's happening in Gaza on the Mediterranean side, they're expecting is going to happen to them eventually. And these people are the toughest people you ever have heard about in your life. They do not give up. They say, this is our homeland. We've been here for thousands of years and we're not budging. And you just have to give them a hat tip because of their resolve. It's really amazing. And anyway, I'll let her tell the story.
Who studied in Hungary, he took those olive trees and they now are on a plot of land next to his new house and trying to grow. So it's like, this is, I'm not sure what Israel is trying to do. I mean, it's horrific what's going on in Gaza. And what is very concerning to me and why I'm grateful to be on your show is that what is going to happen, the people that I know in the West Bank, Christian and Muslim, it's not said, but it's like we're next. That what they've done to Gaza is going to come to us, because who's going to stop them? Already in the northern parts where the refugee camps were, I was there in September. They had already been making raids. I was in the center of Jenin, right in front of the Catholic Church. They had bulldozed the middle of the road and broken the water pipes. No bullet holes. I lived in 2002 during the Intifada in Bethlehem. The whole city was full of bullet holes. So there hadn't been any confrontations, but they were still bulldozing and doing what they wanted to do to wreck the infrastructure, to make it harder for people to go to work up there. But now, in the last 8 months, they've cleared out at least 15,000 people in Tulkarm and Jenin in the northern part. They're not in their homes. Do you hear those stories? And these affect Christians as well.
So why do American Christian churches send money to a government that does this to Christians?
Well, I think the ones that send money that support the settlements are obviously the Christian Zionists. There's an organization called Christians United for Israel, Pastor John Hagee. I was in Washington a few weeks ago because they had a conference in Baltimore. So it's slowly growing an awareness by other Christians in America that, just like many Jews are protesting and saying, not in our name, and Jewish, you know, the Jewish Voice for Peace, there has to be much more done by the Christians in America, because these Christian Zionists are speaking in our name. Someone like Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz, is saying and doing what he's doing because he's following a Christianity that is not the Christianity of the Holy Land. It's not the Christianity of a Catholic or an Orthodox or a traditional Christian. It's a heretical belief.
What is Christian Zionism? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, that was she dropped some bombs on Tucker, and Tucker is really putting it out there. I really appreciate Tucker for speaking the truth, because you know I'm for everyone who is a peaceful person to be treated fairly. I want everybody to be treated fairly, regardless. But I just, it doesn't matter whether someone's a Muslim or a Christian. I want everyone to be treated the same, okay? And so, but especially if we're saying, oh, we want to support Christians in the Holy Land, we'll understand that when we are doing that, when we're sending money, if we send money through these organizations to support Israel, supposedly against these mean Palestinians, that it's affecting, as she's saying, it's affecting the Christians in those areas too. She's clearly a Christian. She's clearly, you know, the Christians are being affected, and they are having their homes taken from them. Or, as you notice, they just come and bulldoze and say, we're taking this new plot of land, we're taking these homes, and then that whole, we're going to change the, repair the infrastructure and make our new settlement, and then you just are left with what's been damaged and wrecked. And the homes are just destroyed. And it's really awful. And so, you know, what she was saying at the very beginning was the man who had the trees, they had taken his home. Or no, they said they were coming to pull up these trees. And these had been his trees, olive trees, for hundreds and hundreds of years in his family. And from, you know, these people have lived there always. You know, here in America, we just don't have that longevity, but they do. And he literally went over because he couldn't stop them. He has no recourse, he has no rights, no power, and so he went over and got those trees, and he went and took them and planted them in his yard. I mean, the people are so resilient, and they just keep standing firm, and they just refuse to leave. The honest truth is there's nowhere to go. They're in a, and they expect that the next thing that will happen to them is they'll be in that prison cell, basically like Gaza is, an open air prison cell. That's really what it is. We've been misled. And so she is doing a great job to expose what's going on over there. And I appreciate Tucker for using his platform to do that. So let's support them and share this information. Share this video. Share this, the one about Tucker Carlson. Did I post that? I'll go ahead and grab that real quick. The other thing, okay, so that at the 22 mark is where she talks about the 1,000 years of peace. Now, I want you to hear what she has to say, and then I will explain to you what I believe is really the truth about that. So check this out.
As far as I understand it, they believe in the idea of the rapture. They believe that it's sort of this cruel bargain they have going with Israel. Because basically what they say, that they're going to be swooped up into heaven, right? And then there's going to be a 1,000-year kingdom. And then there'll be the end of the world and the judgment by Christ, and he'll come back. This is a false, it was condemned as a heresy in 381, because basically there is no 1,000-year millennium to come, no 1,000-year period. The end, we are in that time period now. And so it's a...
Okay, so that there is, that's her opinion that there is, she's saying that there's no 1,000-year period to come. She's saying that we are right now in the 1,000 years of peace. Now, I would disagree with that. And super quick, I'll just pull up a BibleGateway.com. It talks about, and I understand she has her opinion, and I have mine. And so I talk about this in the books End Times and the 1,000 years of peace. So Revelation chapter 20 goes into this 1,000 years. I saw an angel. Let me make it a little bit bigger. Right here, I'll make it a little bit bigger. It says, I saw an angel coming down from heaven
with a key to the bottomless pit and a heavy chain in his hand. He seized the dragon, that old serpent, who's the devil, Satan, and bound him in chains for 1,000 years. Now, what I would argue, if I was talking with her, and say, well, I don't see that Satan is bound. He is not bound at this point. That doesn't make sense to me that he's bound. It says he seized the dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil, Satan, and bound him in chains for 1,000 years. The angel threw him in the bottomless pit, which he was shut and locked, so Satan could no longer deceive the nations anymore until 1,000 years were finished. Well, there's certainly been lots of deception. I don't see that Satan has not been able to deceive. There's been a lot of deception. That's what we talk about all the day long. Now, maybe she doesn't believe that or realize that, but we do. We realize that we've been deceived on a myriad of subjects. So I'm going to back up real quick to Revelation 19 at the very end. The thing that happens just before that 1,000 years of peace is that I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who did miracles on behalf of the beast. Now, I don't know who she's thinking the beast is, but what I believe is this is the Antichrist. This is the criminal cabal. This is as I've talked about many times before with you guys, and it's in my books, is that there were four empires. This is this last empire, this ruthless empire with the iron teeth and the claws, and I believe that's the New World Order. They're everywhere throughout the entire world. It's not just one nation like it was before that would attack the world. They've infiltrated the entire world, and they're destroying their nations from within. And just like we've seen with these infiltrators into our government. So this beast, it says it was captured. The New World Order will be captured. That's what we're waiting on. These people who literally worship Satan are going to be captured and removed. I believe that's what we're seeing when we see the Shifty Ship is one of them who is being captured right now, being exposed. This is the beginning of it. It's going to be drip, 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 and then a flood. And all these things coming out so people realize we've got to take back our world from these evildoers who have taken it over. There's no turning back. There's no going back. We can't unwind the clock. This is where we are in the timeline of history. And the false prophet, these are the ones who have joined in league, just like I was saying before. This, Ellen Nakashima with the Washington Post is one of the false prophets. She's the one who's spewing all these lies on behalf of the CIA, the FBI. Same thing with that. There's false teachers. Now, some people in the church are teaching the wrong thing, and they're not doing it knowingly. They're doing it, they're teaching the truth the best way they can. The ones the Lord is angry with are those who knowingly are deceiving people. Okay. Anyway, so clearly it says that the beast and the false prophet will be gone. And I just can't see how she can say that the beast and the false prophet are gone. They're not gone. They're here wreaking all this havoc on the world. Okay, so it says, then it talks more about the 1,000 years of peace. It says, I saw thrones. Look at this. I'm verse 4 in chapter 20 of Revelation. I saw thrones and people sitting on them had been given the authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who'd been beheaded. And they did not accepted the mark, this evil mark, to join in league with them on their forehead or their hands. They came to life again and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So I don't see that happening. I don't see that the beast and the false prophet and Satan have been cast out and that we have had peace on earth. I don't see that we're in a time of peace on this world. That's what she believes, but I don't believe that that's the case. I believe that the wonderful truth about this beautiful day in the future is, like, I'm writing this book about the golden age. It's all throughout the Bible. I've got verse after verse after verse talking about the wonderful days of health and wealth and peace that will overcome the world. It says that when he returns, that they will have joy that no one can take away. There'll be just absolutely beautiful days. No eye has seen and ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for us. He's going to have his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, she maybe thinks that, well, that'll only be when there's, heaven on earth. But that's not what it says. It says after 1,000 years, let me go back to this verse before I go on to look at one other place. But it says, they'll be priests of God and Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. And then it says, when the 1,000 years comes to an end, then Satan will be let out of his prison. So I don't really like that part, but that's what's going to happen, because Jesus is going to to defeat death, our final enemy, okay? So, you know, this is after the 1,000 years of peace on earth. And before we go on to anything else, you know, I just love to read these passages about the millennial kingdom. And there are so many more, but I'm just going to read the one that just comes to mind that you guys probably couldn't quote. Also, from Isaiah 65, which it says that, it talks about that the grain and the grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. It also says in Isaiah 65, it says, no longer will babies die when only a few days old. See, at this point, there's still death on the earth, but they won't die before they've lived a full life. People will live a full, happy life, and then they'll die in the millennial kingdom, okay? And then after the 1,000 years, then Jesus will conquer death, and then everyone will get their incorruptible bodies. But I'll show you that in just a second. It says, only in those days, people will live in the houses they built and eat the fruit of their own vineyards. Unlike the past, invaders will not take their houses and confiscate their vineyards. For my people will live as long as trees. Everybody knows that. And my chosen ones will have time to enjoy their hard-won gains. This is the picture of the millennial kingdom. We're not living as long as trees. That's not happening yet. It's not happening. I'm ready for that to happen, but this has not happened yet. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse. They've done so much damage to us. So that's what she is saying. And so I would just disagree and say, I don't believe that that's the case. I believe that the truth is that we are going to enter into the 1,000 years of peace. And then, but anyway, so she's saying that this was a heresy, the rapture. And I hadn't even heard about that. But the rapture was a heresy that was called out back in the 300 AD or something like that. And I didn't know about that. Now, I will play for you a video that I just posted today, because a lot of people, after they heard this, they never heard such that, oh, you mean rapture is not a true teaching? And so they might not know the verses that apply about rapture. And so that's why I created this video, and I put it out on my Telegram as well as on the social, as well as on the on X, and it's probably over on Getter now and True Social. All right, so now check this out. Hope you guys like it. Enjoy it. About the rapture, a lot of people are talking about it. Maybe you saw the video that Tucker put out with Stephanopoulos. And so what I do is I look at the current events in the light of God's word, because what we're experiencing is literally biblical. And so I'm going to show you the verses that have to do with rapture, and then you can decide for yourself. And the main verse that is talked about is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. I'll read those to you. 1 Thessalonians, I'll start with 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. In other words, those who have died. Okay, so what is he talking about? There was all this worry that, oh, the Lord's already come and we missed it. And what he was saying is, do not worry. We're all going to get, what he's talking about is the incorruptible bodies all at the same time. Those who have died will get them the incorruptible body at the same time as those who are still on this earth. And I'll read it to you, and you'll see that that's exactly what he's talking about in context. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, those who have died, will rise. That means they'll be made incorruptible first. And then we who are alive and remain on the earth shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. So this is talking about a day in the future when everyone will be made incorruptible. Their bodies will not die. This is where we're headed. You know, paradise lost, paradise restored. Okay, and this is not the only place that it talks about this. There's another passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Very beautiful passage. You probably hear it at funerals. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So clearly, that other passage I read to you from 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, and this one here in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, are clearly talking about about the same thing, that the time on God's holy calendar when everyone will be made incorruptible at the same time, it says in a twinkling of an eye, and we'll all be changed. It's going to be wonderful. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Our Lord Jesus at one point is going to conquer our greatest enemy, which is death. Okay, so let me show you one more passage that is a parallel passage, Revelation 21. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. What is this city? It's people, all of God's people, called the New Jerusalem, called, it's a city of people. It's not about dirt or a location on a map. It's about God's people are New Jerusalem, the city of peace. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, for there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne, our Lord Jesus, said, behold, I make all things new. This is what he's talking about, is that one day we will have everything made new. The earth will be new. The heavens will be new. The people will be new. We'll have incorruptible bodies, but there will be no more death. When does this happen on God's timeline? I talk about this on my channel, melissaredpill.com. I have tons of videos about this. I've written bestseller books on it, one called End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace. So the timeline is this, that we are right now, newsflash, we are in the Battle of Armageddon. We're casting out this criminal cabal called the Antichrist, the Beast of Revelation, and then we're going to have a thousand years of peace on earth. It clearly talks about this all throughout God's word. It tells us about a day when we'll live as long as trees. We'll have time to enjoy our hard-won gains. There'll be no more confiscatory taxes. I mean, it goes on and on. I have another book called Major Clues from Minor Prophets. End Times, Major Clues from Minor Prophets. They told us. That's why we never read any of those books. But anyway, this is the wonderful truth about end times. After that 1,000 years, there's another battle. It's called the Gog and Magog battle. At that battle, it's in Revelation chapter 20, it says that the Lord Jesus will defeat our greatest enemy, death. It's after the 1,000 years of peace on earth. That's where we're headed, you guys, the golden age. So check it out. Come to my site, melissaredpill.com. Check it out on my ex, Melissa Red Pill. You will love it. It's really, really good news for us. It's bad news for the bad guys. It's end times for them and a thousand years of peace for us. I hope that is helpful. Check it out, and I'll see you there.
All right. What did you guys think? Did y'all like my video? So I hope that a lot of people will see that and see, you know, the how we look at, you know, the biblically, I not just talking about the Bible, but actually reading the verses straight from God's word that apply. And those are the verses that apply in this case. And it's about the day when we get our incorruptible bodies. So, but what we're headed for now is the golden age. So I hope you guys like that and that you'll, I'm going to go ahead and share that link right there.
Hey, dear Patriot.
I'm going to share the link, and I want you guys to please, please share this about the rapture, okay? About rapture. Yes, thank you, Coast Rider. I say rapute. I'm trying to type too fast. Rapture. Okay, he's going to write there. Yay, thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. I'm glad that you liked it. Now, I just hope that people can, you know, join in the fun of knowing the wonderful truth about end times and not be scared. All right, so now, for those of you who are new here, you can go and search my book, my main book, End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace. I have over like 3,600 positive reviews on it. Thank you so much for everyone who has done the reviews. So please go ahead and review all the books, whatever you have read. And then we also have the study guides if you want to find, they're in Spanish and English and German and Dutch, and then you can do the study guides also. We get together on Saturday mornings, and we go verse by verse by verse. So, all right, so there you go on that. So you can check that out. They're all on Amazon, and I'll pop the link over onto the chat. All right,
It's very good news. Now, she also talked about the deeds to the properties, and she explained how that is working. So I want you to hear that, which is, you know, again, they have no recourse. It doesn't matter if you have a deed, because this is how they do it.
And then finally, the British up until 1948. Mm. During all that time, huge pieces of land were owned by various Christian churches, particularly in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. What happened to that? Do they still own that land?
They own the land, but this is where it's sort of the a lesser kind of persecution, is that they use legal means or semi-legal means, because you have land that was under the Ottoman Empire and there might be some documents or certain leases, and they say, well, the lease is up now, we have to renegotiate it, and suddenly the Christians have lost a portion of their land. Or they'll use middlemen and say, and it's sort of acts of deceit, and they end up buying large, these front companies come and buy off some of the land, and you don't realize that it's going to not Christians or not to Palestinians and being used in another way.
In Jerusalem?
Primarily around Jerusalem. Jerusalem and Bethlehem, there's large chunks that have been taken. The Knesset sits on the own land owned by the Jerusalem Patriarchate.
What?
Yeah. Well, it was their land. And they have a lease. They have a lease for it.
So anyway, I just wanted you to see how that works. Can you imagine? You have a home. You have worked all your life. You've scrimped and saved and worked so hard to make a beautiful home for yourself, and then they just come along and take it. This cannot continue. This is basic human rights, and these people are enduring despite all of this that they've been through. It really reminds you of the people in the Israelites back in in Egypt, where they just basically had the clothes on their backs because everything else had been taken from them. And so, you know, I'm not going to get into it right now, but I would really encourage anyone who is new here, who hasn't read this already, there's a book called Missing Clues Discovered in Assyrian Tablets. And so it really talks about, you know, who are the true Jews, the biblical Jews, and where and tracing their lineage. So that is in a very important piece of this puzzle. The other very important piece of the puzzle is that there, whether you are of the physical progeny of as an Israelite, because many of us are, and we didn't even know it. We're literally the lost tribes of Israel. I have a whole channel of a whole playlist on that on my MelissaRedPill.com website. But we also, it's ultimately the point of us being in God's family is about our connection with Him that makes us a true Israelite. A true Israelite is an Israelite by faith, not by blood. Okay, so that's a very important part point too, and I'm not going to go into all that right now. But anyway, just a little side note. Okay, so this is the other piece is on number 30, the 34-minute mark. She tells another bit about what is going on in Israel
and be free to have their country. Christians will continue to leave, and what will happen? Not only those living stones will leave, but the holy sites. You know, what gives me the greatest pleasure is after I left Jerusalem, I've lived in America, but two times a year I bring pilgrims, people who want to come and visit the holy sites, go and see where Jesus Christ was crucified and resurrected, go see where he was born, go up to the Sea of Galilee, be a part of that. And one of our saints says, taking a pilgrimage to the Holy Land is like the fifth gospel. So we can read the Bible all we want, but it's when we go there and really are at the places where our Lord walked and lived and performed his miracles that you really, it deepens your Christianity and your sense of one of the loveliest things is I take people of all ages and I'll ask them, younger people at the end of the trip, so what do you like the most? And some people might say the Dead Sea or something, but I've also been struck that 15-year-old boys will come back and tell me it's when we went to the Holy Sepulchre and to the tomb of Christ.
Yes.
So there's obviously something there that's important to our Christian heritage. And what's happening is if the Christians are forced to leave, if Israel takes greater control, what we will have is museums. They won't be living places of prayer. And that will be a great tragedy. not only for the Christians, but I think for the whole world.
Yeah, because they're not owned by government. I mean, these are pre-existing.
Of course, they've been there for centuries.
Exactly.
And they have gone down and up. I mean, there have been times over the centuries where...
Anyway, I'll leave you to watch the rest of that video. But I wanted to give you a little example of what she was saying. This, I'm sure, has been seen by hundreds of thousands of people at this point. And before it's over, will be seen by millions. And it's a big red pill. And so I really appreciate what she is doing. She's putting herself at risk by saying these things. And so I really appreciate it that she's, you know, she's been there, just like the one he did the other day with Tony Aguilar, who had been at the food distribution sites and was giving his firsthand account that they were shooting at the people. I mean, these are the kinds of things that the Christian church has to wake up to. And we are living in the day where we can share these links very easily and say, hey, I'm going to just send you this link and you tell me what you think about this, because this looks outrageous to me, but you tell me what your thoughts are. You know, maybe, you know, someone would be willing to read it, to watch the video. Sorry. All right. I think that's it. Okay. I think that's everything that I had. Let me see. I have one more thing. Oh, yes. Here. Here. Zelensky has wrote this post to Erdogan of Turkey. Okay, so here's his picture. It says he is exhausted. Ukraine is exhausted. They're ready to cede territory held by Russia in exchange for peace. Interesting. Interesting. I will post, I'll give you the link to this one also in case you haven't seen it. So here he is writing this letter. He says, I spoke with Erdogan, our talks are always friendly and substantive, and we greatly value Turkey's warm attitude toward Ukraine. I thanked him for supporting our sovereignty and territorial integrity and for Turkey's mediating role in Istanbul. Erdogan made it clear any negotiations without Ukraine will not be sustainable peace, which it is very interesting that here we are on the 12th of August, and on the 15th of August, President Trump and Putin are going to meet. Interestingly, that Zelensky is supposedly not invited. And I know they've had some other discussions about that, but it's just interesting. And so, you know, Erdogan is saying that, you know, Ukraine has to be involved to make peace. But I think that this is, again, President Trump knows how to get people to the negotiating table, because we've seen how Zelensky has acted in the past, because he'll say he wants peace and then he gets to the negotiation table and it's the opposite, right? We've seen that time and time again. All right, so he says, this is what he told Erdogan on this post for everyone to see. He says, we're ready for any meeting format to stop the killings and end the war. Okay, you put that out there for the whole world. Are you really? Now, as you know, President Trump has talked about that, this land, it'll be land swaps, and he said very complicated. But either way, that's what it, you know, it sounds like they're ready. And the people, they've polled the people, and they want peace. So there you go. There we are. Erdogan confirmed Turkey's readiness to host a summit with Ukraine, the U.S., Russia, and Turkey. All right. So I wanted you to see that in case you had missed it. Let me see if there's anything else. Okay, you saw this one. Okay, you saw this one. Okay. All right, that's it. That's everything I had for you today. And of course, that didn't take long. Oh no, it's 57 minutes in, of course. All right, so we're going to pray. And so I'm going to share with you also these links right quick about the sodium chloride. That's what I have been using for years. This is an easy way for you to get it into your body with mouthwash and toothpaste and wound care and nasal spray. I love this stuff, and I really encourage you to use this. I'm just very happy to have found such an easy way, because let's just be honest, sodium chloride is kind of hard to drink. It's a little bit, the sodium chloride is not as bad. The chlorine dioxide is kind of strong. So this is a great way for you to get it into your body. Chlorine, that's not what I wanted to write. Anyway, so I'll type this in a second. All right, so the other thing is that I want you to see. This channel, this page here, I just created this page about detoxing because that is so important for your health. And again, I don't care if you use these products or whatever products you use. I just want to make sure that you guys are detoxing every day. They are doing all this to our bodies through our through the water and the air and the food. And we've got it's very important that we detox. And so these ones, though, right here, I know I can count on. These are really legit products that, you know, I know the owner of the company, just they're pristine. They're most pristine, with, you know, created in a perfect environment where it's, you know, perfect water and all of this. So this is the Pure Body Extra that I do every day, the little spritzes every day to go into the cellular level and remove any toxins, especially, like arsenic and, you know, all these heavy metals. This is the super green juice. I don't drink it by itself. I put it into my green smoothie. If you haven't seen my green smoothie page, go to freedomforce.live/green smoothies. All right. So you'll love that one. It's also on this health page right here. You'll see under health, you'll see green smoothies. So just use what, you know, all the information that you find on there to help your body to age in reverse, as it talked about, that we'll live for 1,000 years. So we will need to do some age reversal. I just saw here, H. Clay is 90. Yay. I can't even believe that, H. Clay. That's awesome. So, you know, we need to have our bodies start to reverse age. And so we need our bodies to get stronger and more energetic and more resilient and all that. So this one here, the fulvic minerals right here, is amazing for the micronutrients getting into your system. Like, think of good soil for a plant. And that's what the fulvic minerals are for. And then also, if you, yeah, this talks about the purity and all that it does. You can read more about that. I'll share the link in the chat. And then this is the one that lengthens your telomeres. Not, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. That prevents the shortening of your telomeres, because as your telomeres shorten, then your lifespan shortens. And so if we can keep those telomeres long, then our bodies will be more resilient and can kick off any kind of disease and then can repair and all that. I'm very thankful that I had, you know, the Lord repaired my heart. If you haven't heard about that, I was poisoned. I'll show you that real quick too. I was poisoned, and this is how I got well from, most people would have died. Okay, but based upon, you know, all the things that I was doing to detox and to get the nutrients, my body repaired. Okay, and so my heart is healed. This one here, healing the heart, that's really about how I was poisoned and I lived. I'm very, very thankful because you guys prayed and the Lord directed me to all these amazing things that I could do to get better. And I do think I think I'm stronger now than I ever have been. Well, maybe not when I was a kid, but I think I'm getting younger. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting healthier. And it's because of doing these things that I'm telling you about. I'm not just to, you know, talking, just to talk. These are very important. Anyway, this is the televital is a way that you can help to deal with the aging, life extension. All right, I think that's everything. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we thank you that you are bringing out all this truth. Thank you for the exposure and the declass of this the shifty shift information, and that this was treason. And I thank you that this is going like wildfire throughout the internet. I thank you that we're here. As days go by, we're going to see more and more until everybody realizes that these people have just done such crimes against our country, and not just our country, but countries all over the world, and that it is time for justice to be meted out. And I thank you that President Trump and all the white hats have been working on this for a very long time, as J.D. Vance said, and that we might not know about it, but it will come out when the conclusion to their investigation has been finalized. Thank you for how they've been working so hard behind the scenes. And Lord, I just thank you that we have the Freedom Force Battalion and all the other patriots who are working hard to expose these things and to share them. Thank you for how you've used each one of us to do whatever you have seen fit for us to share. And I just thank you for this woman right here on Tucker, Mother Stephanopoulos, and how courageous she is to share this very, very important information about what's going on in Palestine. And I pray, Lord, that you, for your protection over her and all those who are fighting so hard to remove these evildoers from this earth. I thank you for the wonderful truth that it's the end times for them. and 1,000 years of peace for us, that this is the great day that we've been waiting for, that eyes not seen and ears not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what you have prepared for those who love you. We're going to have days of health and wealth and peace that we can't even imagine at this point. So again, keep us strong, give us the courage, give us the strength, provide for us, strengthen our bodies and our minds so that we can overcome and to keep in the fight. I thank you for everyone on the Freedom Force Battalion. I just pray you bless them. In your great name we pray, Jesus. Amen. I love you guys. I love you so much. I'm so glad that we were able to be together today. And it's time to get going, as we always do. If there's anything else, I'll be in the chat for just a little bit. And I will talk to you there, okay? I love you guys. And I will talk to you later.